Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we'll continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the title of the class today is The Islamic Society and the Islamic State of Medina. Actually, after the migration of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims of Mecca to Medina, it was Medina that Islam was completed, and it was in the Medina that Islam was completed and took the shape of a complete code of life, a code which is ideal one for all times to come. In Mecca, it was faith, that is to say, faith in the unity of Allah and the Day of Judgment, that was stressed. That was stressed by, stressed in the Holy Quran and stressed by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While in Medina, it was society that was created on that basis. The Hijra migration from Mecca to Yathrib makes a clear division in the story of the Prophet mission. Till then, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a preacher only. Then after Hijra, he was the ruler of a state, at first a very small one, which grew up in 10 years to the Empire of Arabia. The kind of guidance which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the early Muslim needed after Hijra was not the same as that which they had before. In Mecca, Quran gave guidance to individual spirits and to the Prophet Muhammad as a warner, while in Medina it gave guidance to a growing social and political community. So new rules and regulations were formed so that every aspect of life will be within the framework of Islam. Let us learn some of these rules which are mentioned in the following verses of the Holy Quran. We will start by reciting from Surah number 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 177, to know about the rules of the society of Muslims, which Allah mentioned in the Holy Quran for the Muslims in Medina, so that they can have the best society, inshallah, all the time. Surah number 2, verse 177.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين في الرقاب والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون.
Righteousness is not that you turn your faces toward the east or the west, but true righteousness is in one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, and the prophets, and gives wealth in spite of love for it, to relatives, orphans, the needy, the traveler, those who ask for help, and for freeing slaves, and who establishes prayer and gives zakat, those who fulfill their promise when they promise, and those who are patient in poverty and hardship, and during battle, those are the ones who have been true, and it is those who are righteous.
So actually, sisters, in this verse of the Quran, Allah is teaching us a very important rule regarding being righteous. Being righteous is not just to pray, okay, with your body, okay, and to turn your face to right or to left, okay, or to turn your face towards the Qibla. To be righteous means that when you are a true believer in Allah, the Day of Judgment, the angels, the books, the messengers, this is number one. And if you are a true believer, okay, this belief must be turned into actions. Okay, so you will give the money to those whom they are need, the orphans, the needy, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the relatives. Okay, and also when you will pray with sincerity. When you give zakah, you give it for the sake of Allah. And also you must be patient during the time of hardship and poverty. If you have all these characters, you are the true righteous. Okay. Now we will learn again from the Holy Quran, from Surah number 4, Surah An-Nisa, the chapter of the women, verse number 37, to know about the rules of the society of Muslims. Surah number 4, chapter number 4, verse number 36.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الذين يبخلون ويأمرون الناس بالبخل ويكتمون ما آتاهم الله من فضله. هذا
36.
وعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Worship Allah and associate nothing with Him. And to parents do good. And to relatives, orphans, the needy, the near neighbor, the neighbor further away, the companion at the side, the traveler, and those whom your right hand possess. Indeed, Allah does not like those who are self-deluding and boastful.
So actually, again, Allah the Almighty is guiding the Muslims to the good treatment to all these kinds of people, so that the society will be a society built on love, support, and compassion. Number one, always we must learn that when Allah will mention worship Allah, the second command will be good to your parents. Be good to your parents. Okay, this is one of the rules of the Holy Quran. After worshipping Allah and not associating anyone with Him, number two, be good to your parents, then relatives, orphans, needy, and the neighbors. In Islam, it is very important to be good to your neighbor, even if your neighbor is not a Muslim. Okay, if your neighbor is not a Muslim, you must treat him in a good way. But if your neighbor is a Muslim, you must treat him in a better way. Okay, but basic, you must be good with your neighbor, okay, and the companion and the traveler, whoever you meet in your life, you must be good with him, okay. These are the basics of the belief in Islam. We will learn more about the rules of the Islamic society from the same surah, same chapter, chapter of the women, chapter 4, verse 58 and 59. 58 and 59, so that it will be clear for us regarding how that society was very successful because of the manners and the values which the early Muslims have in their hearts on the basis of the verses of the Quran. Verse number 58 and 59.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إن الله نعم ما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا.
Indeed, Allah commands you to render trust to whom they are due, and when you judge between people, to judge with justice. Excellent is that which Allah instructs you. Indeed, Allah is ever hearing and seeing. O you who have believed, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you. And if you disagree over anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger. If you should believe in Allah in the last day, that is the best way and best end result.
So actually, sisters, these two verses of the Quran are very important rules, and actually around them is all our ways of treating each other, all living our life. This is the way of the life of the Muslim is number one, to render trust to whom they are due. And actually trust here doesn't mean just if I borrow money from someone, I must give him the money back. Okay, this is not the meaning of trust in the Quran. The trust is your duty towards everyone. Number one, your duty, the trust is the duty which Allah, the Almighty, will ask you or question you about on the Day of Judgment. So number one is the trust of yourself. Then the trust of your parents, the trust of your husband, the trust of your kids, the trust of the Muslim, the trust of the non-Muslim. Okay, then the trust of your health, the trust of your wealth. In this life, we have a lot of trust, and we must render this trust to whom they are due. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that my parents, they have right on me. I must do that right to them as part of their trust or my duty toward them. So it is not something I am giving to them in, and they must thank me for. No, this is their right. Okay, the trust is the right. Okay, so as a Muslim looking for obedience of Allah, if you follow the rule of the trust, okay, because actually this is the rule of, this is the basic for all my classes, the rule of trust in our life. Okay, if I know the rights of all whom I mentioned, and you try to believe that they are trust, and I must do it for them, for the sake of Allah, obeying Allah, because this is the command of Allah, you will feel very relaxed to obey Allah with everyone, okay, your family, the small family, the big family, the Muslims, the wealth, obeying the commands of Allah will be very easy for you, because this is the trust, and I must do it. I will not make it an advantage, okay, for my kids to take care of them. I will not make it an advantage to come to the masjid to teach the sisters Islam. No, this is a trust. I must do it. Okay, this is my responsibility. A trust is a responsibility. Taking care of my parents when they are old, this is my responsibility. Allah commanded me to do so. So I must do it. So the rule of the trust, rule is R-O-L-E, the rule of trust in our life must be clear in the spirit of every Muslim, because it will help you all the time to do all the good to everyone, and not waiting for someone or anyone to tell you thank you, not waiting for anyone to compensate you for anything, because this is their right. You must do all the good for everyone, because Allah will be the one, okay, to compensate for you and to reward you. This is number one regarding the trust. Number two is the justice. Okay, Allah is saying, and when you judge between people is to judge with justice. Justice as a rule for in the life of a Muslim. Okay, if I like you, if I don't like you, if my daughter will have a problem or a fight with a non-Muslim student with her in the college, and she will come and tell me, what do you think? Okay, what is your point of view? I was the one whom, you know, she must say to me, sorry. I will tell her, no, you are the one who did the mistake, and you must go and tell her, I am very sorry, because because this is the justice, and Allah will question me on the day of judgment about every word which I say it, and I must follow the justice because this is a command from Allah, and when you judge between people, to judge with justice. Number three, Allah is clarifying to us about the importance of obedience of Allah, obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those in authority. So long as those in authority are obeying Allah, we must obey them. If we disagree with someone, suppose now I have a disagreement with Sister Rada regarding any point of view. Suppose she will tell me, for example, Sister Mona, if I am not happy with my sister, I will not talk to her anymore in my life. For example, then I will tell her, no, Sister Ghada, I think you must forgive her. She will tell me, no, I will tell her, let us open the Quran. And whatever Allah will mention, if you find the answer for our question in the Holy Quran, alhamdulillah. If not, we'll find it in the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we will agree that, Sister Ghada, it is not your point of view or my point of view. We are obedient servants to Allah. So let us return to the Holy Quran and to the saying of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whatever is there is the right. And whatever is there, we will follow it irrespective of our points of view. We must do this if we believe in Allah and in the Day of Judgment, then Allah is clarifying that is best way and the best in result. I will not be upset if my point of view was wrong. She will not be upset if her point of view is wrong, because we are obeying the point of view or the decision or the command of Allah, not mine or hers. Okay, we will recite now again from the same surah, chapter number 4, from the Holy Quran, verse 85 and 86, to learn more about the rules of the Islamic society which the early Muslims were following with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Chapter 4, verse 85 and 86.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. من يشفع شفاعة حسنة يكن له نصيب منها ومن يشفع شفاعة سيئة يكن له كفل منها وكان الله على كل شيء مقيتا وإذا حييتم بتحية فحيوا بأحسن منها أو ردوها إن الله كان على كل شيء حسيبا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Whoever intercede for a good cause will have a share therefrom, and whoever intercede for an evil cause will have a portion, burden, therefrom. And ever is Allah over all things a keeper. And when you are greeted with a greeting, greet in return with one better than it, or at least return it in a like manner. Indeed, Allah is ever over all things an accountant.
So again, sisters, Allah is teaching us these very important rules from the Holy Quran, so that inshallah we will be guided all the time. In these two verses of the Quran, there are two very important rules regarding living in an Islamic society, or regarding having the good manners of Islam, whether living in an Islamic society or not an Islamic society. This is the rules and this is the manners of the Muslims, which we must have it with everyone. The first rule is, whoever intercedes for a good cause will have a share, that is to say, reward therefrom. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that if I come and tell you, sisters, what do you think? Let us go and visit the sick patients in M.G. Anderson every week, okay? And then it happens that I can't go, okay, for any reason. I will have the reward every time you go and visit the patients in a medical center, even if it is for 10 years and I am not going. Why? Because I was the one who interceded for the good cause. Okay, and it is also the opposite. If I come and tell you, if another sister will come and tell you, what is this nonsense you are doing? You are coming to the masjid, you are reciting Quran, then you are going to the patients. This is too much. Stop going to the patients in the medical center. There are others going. And actually the relatives are there and they are not getting benefit of this. I don't think it is very beneficial. So you decide to stop. Okay? She will be punished for her intention, okay, and she will be punished for all of you, okay. She will be punished, okay, your punishment and the punishment of everyone who stopped going, okay. This is regarding, for example, not going. But if someone will come and tell you, for example, to pray the 5 prayers per day is enough. Okay, why to pray sunnah? Sunnah, we are not sure of the sunnah, forget about the sunnah. Pray just the 5 prayers, okay? And someone will listen to her and will stop prayer, okay? So, that person whom she volunteered to stop someone from doing something good, she will be punished for her and for those whom they follow her. Accordingly, when you have a question regarding any of the rules of Islam and you are not sure, say, I don't know. Otherwise, you will be punished, okay, for all those whom you said your point of view and you were not sure, okay. And number 2, the second lesson which you learn from this verse of the Quran is that when you say a word, say only a good word. If you have a bad word, don't say it. Otherwise, you will be punished for yourself and for all those whom they listen to that word. For example, if I come and tell you, sister, let us stop giving money to that poor sister because I don't think she is very poor. Just a word. I saw her once in the galleria and she was in a very good shape. Don't give her anything. Okay? And then the sister decided not to give her anything. Or one of the sisters, she went and she fought with her. And she wrote in the Facebook that sister is so and so, and Sister Mona said. Everyone who read that Facebook, my point of view, okay, I will be punished for everyone until the day of judgment. So long there is a Facebook, I am punished. Okay, so why? So why? If I know that whoever intercedes for an evil cause will have a portion burden therefrom, I will only say the good words. Okay? I will never say bad words. And I will not call the people for something which Allah doesn't like. Like someone will come and say, Facebook is very good. The Facebook is beneficial for everyone. Go and spend your time with the Facebook. That person will be punished for everyone. I was reading the Quran 1 hour per day, but I stopped and now I am on the Facebook 1 hour per day instead of recitation of the Quran. All my good deeds which I lost, that sister will pay for it. So be very careful when you call the people for anyone or you intercede for anything, that you only intercede for something good. Otherwise you are harming yourself more than causing harm for all those whom they are following you. The second rule in these verses of the Quran is that when you are greeted with a greeting, greet in return with one better, or at least return it in a like manner. Okay? This means that when you are in the mall, going to any mall, and when you meet any sister in any place, okay, you start by saying Salaamu Alaikum. If she replied Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullah wa Barakatuh, she will be the one to get the reward. If she doesn't reply, no problem. I will not say, as most of the Muslim sisters believe, if the sister will not tell me alaykum assalam, I will not say it to anyone else. Okay? I feel shy. Why they are not responding? When you greet someone, you are obeying Allah. You are rewarded from Allah. I am saying assalamu alaykum because I am commanded. Not for the sake that she will tell me alaykum assalam, sister. And when someone will tell you assalamu alaykum, Assalamu alaikum is 10 good deeds. Okay? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, another 10 good deeds. Wa barakatuh, the 30 good deeds. So it is better to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Now I received already 3 good deeds. Okay? So all the time, don't stop greeting the Muslims. Otherwise, we will never be united. Okay? I will not feel that sister whom she has a head cover, she is part of my family, Muslim family. Because we never say to each other, Assalamu alaikum. What
but
is the proof?
If you say to someone who is not Muslim, you say good morning, does it count as a good deed as well?
To non-Muslim, good morning, this is good manners of Islam. You will be rewarded for it as a good manner. And we must have good manners because we represent Islam. Muslims must have good manner with everyone. So I must say to every human being, good morning. But if there is a Muslima like me, I must say to her the greeting of Islam. I cannot say to non-Muslim, Assalamu alaikum. Okay, but the reward is for the word, as peace be on you, Assalamu alaikum. Okay? We will continue now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to know about the rules of the Islamic Society of the Early Muslims from the same chapter, chapter number 4, verse number 135.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha al-lazina amanu kunu قوامين بالقسط شهداء لله ولو على أنفسكم أو الوالدين والأقربين إن يكن غنيا أو فقيرا فالله أولى بهما فلا تتبعوا الهوى أن تعدلوا وإن تلوا أو تعرضوا فإن الله كان بما تعملون خبيرا.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. O you who have believed, be persistently standing firm in justice, witnesses for Allah, even if it be against yourselves or parents or relatives. Whether one is rich or poor, Allah is more worthy of both. So follow not personal inclination, lest you not be just. And if you distort your testimony or refuse it, or to give it, then indeed Allah is ever of what you do aware.
So actually, sisters, again, Allah the Almighty is clarifying to us the importance of having justice with everyone, whether that one is poor, whether that one is rich, whether that one is my father, whether that one is my neighbor or my daughter, or someone whom I don't know or I don't like. But I must have justice, because justice is the most important for the relation between the people. When you feel that you are living in a society which is run by justice, you will be all the time trying to follow the rules. Okay, because you cannot escape the rules, because there is justice for me and for everyone. Accordingly, Allah is stressing in these verses of the Quran regarding that we must stand firm in justice, witnesses for Allah, even if it is against ourselves, our parents, or our relatives. If someone will come and tell me, one sister Mona, you did a mistake. When you say to that sister, so these words, I tell her, yes, I did a mistake. I admit my mistake because I follow the justice, because Allah is the witness, because I fear Allah, because I believe that on the day of judgment Allah will question me, and I must say the truth and I must follow the justice. These verses of the Quran are enough to show the spirit of the Islamic ethics, which are based on justice and honor. To know more about the rules of the Islamic society, we must know that, number one, the dignity of labor was recognized, and the man who earned his living by hard work was better than the one who doesn't work. Okay, this is a very important rule which you must stress, that it is one of the rules of Islam, because there are some people whom they don't know Islam in reality. They always believe that you can stay at home and call on Allah and have trust in Allah, and Allah will provide you, okay, from the heavens. Okay, this is not Islam. This is not the rules of Islam. In Islam, okay, the dignity of labor was recognized. Okay, number two, regarding the rules of Islam for the Islamic society, is related to marriage. Okay, marriage was declared to be be an institution ordained for the growth of the community, protection of the society from adultery, which was declared a great crime. In Islam, adultery is a great crime, and to get rid of it, okay, marriage is the only way for a relation between a man and a woman. Okay, and actually, in order to avoid adultery also, there were the strict restrictions which are imposed in Islam on free mixing of both sexes. Okay, there are many people, many Muslims actually, they are wondering, okay, why Islam has strict restrictions regarding the free mixing between men and women. Why? Okay, it is not important. Let them mix together. Especially, they are questioning this question regarding, for example, the high schools. Okay, for the high school in the Muslim countries, there is no mixing. There are schools for boys. Okay, I was going to a school for girls. Okay, and I always believe that especially at the time of the middle school and high school, it is very important not to mix the kids together. Because at that time, they are very immature. And they try to feel, you know, the needs of their body. And there are a lot of confusion regarding what is right and what is wrong. And all the problems and most of the problems start at that age. Okay, from age 14 to age 20, this is the very critical time regarding the mixing. So as Muslims, we must stop mixing in the schools at that time, from the age of 12 or 13 up to the age of 20, so that we will be following the rules of Islam and getting rid of unnecessary problems. Okay, most of those girls whom they get pregnant very early, 15, 16. Okay, this means that her future will have a big problem. She's still a student in the school and she has a baby. Okay, so how she will manage to finish her school or to be a mother, it is very difficult. It is a very big psychological burden. Okay, she is still a baby. She is still immature. Maturity in Islam is at the age of 40. And she is a mother at the age of 15. So what is the meaning of this? She has a lot of burden. This will complicate her life. This will complicate her future. So it is better not to mix. But unfortunately now, most of the people are encouraging the mixing. Okay, and everyone is paying the price for these wrong manners. Regarding the drinking of wine, selling of wine, buying of wine, it was declared that it is forbidden in Islam, unlawful. Also, gambling was forbidden in Islam. And again, sisters, every day when you live in this life and you communicate with the people, you learn the lesson that whatever Allah commanded us to follow is the right and the only right commands in this worldly life. Allah is the creator of us. Allah is the creator of the wine. Allah knows the effect of the wine on the kid, on the liver, on the heart, on the eyes, on the mind. Okay, Allah knows everything. So when Allah forbids wine, this is for the sake of the human beings. But people are not obeying Allah. And we all observe that most of the car accidents, okay, are because of the drinking of the wine. Most of the young men whom they died at the age of 15, 12, I always read in the newspaper about a young man who is, for example, 19 years old. He was the best in his school. He was the best in everything. He was about to graduate. He was the spirit of his parents. And he just went out and he never returned back. And since then, the family was broken totally. Okay, why? Because he was a young man. He wants to taste the wine. He drank a lot of wine and he returned home. He didn't reach home. Very simple. In half an hour, all the past and the future were lost for all the members of the family. Why? Because we believe that whatever Allah said is wrong. Whatever the Creator commanded is wrong. No, we must believe that whatever the Creator of everything commanded us is the right. Okay? Also in Islam, selling and buying the wine is also forbidden. Why? Even if you are invited in any invitation and there is wine on the table, you are not supposed to sit on that table. You are not buying, you are not selling, but you will not participate in anything related to wine. Okay? This is the rules of Islam. Why? Allah is always making strict rules so that we will not come close to what Allah forbids. Because when you come close, gradually it will be part of your life. One day I will go and sit on the bar. I am not drinking at all. I am not buying, I am not selling. I am just sitting. Okay, and the rest of the people are drinking. So I'm just looking to them. I'm drinking Pepsi Cola. But after 3 or 5 times I went to the bar, I felt that my shaitan, okay, whispered to me, just taste it, so that you will not like it, so that you will never drink it. Just taste once. And you just taste it and you start to lose mind. And on that day you were very upset and you were in need to lose mind. This is excellent. This is my medicine. I will never stop drinking wine. So Allah make it for us forbidden totally so that we will not be close to gambling. The other big, very, 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 very big problem is to try gambling once. If you tried gambling once and you start to collect money from the first time, you will never leave the table until you will be either in the prison, okay, yes, or you will sell your everything for the sake of the table and the gambling. You know, this is the addiction. This is the addiction. And actually, me personally, I believe in addiction. I believe that you can addict the good things and you can addict the bad things very easily. For example, the iPhone. The iPhone is addiction. Okay, now if you come to any sister whom she has an iPhone and has WhatsApp, which they will start to pay for it from this month, yes, people will start to pay, okay, and you tell to the sister, no more iPhone at all. You will just have a simple phone and you will not have WhatsApp or Facebook or anything. Go ahead and live your life. She will tell you, never, never, I can't, give me my iPhone. So I will tell her, but for that iPhone you must do for me this, and I will do everything. Give me my iPhone. Okay? But I will tell her, but my dear sister, 2 years ago you don't have an iPhone and you were living an excellent life. Why you are so stuck with the iPhone? As if it is part of your body. Yes, yes, I need my iPhone. Don't discuss with me much. Give me my iPhone. She can kick me to get her iPhone. She is not controlling herself. Yes, this is the addiction. This is the problem of the addiction. You know, I have this problem with my daughter, the youngest one. Her iPhone is her life. If she sleeps, it is below the bed.
Oh my God.
You know, when she will wake up and go to take the shower, it is with her in the shower. And the songs are, you know, she's hearing the song. When she will get out of the shower, you know, before putting her clothes, she will have her iPhone. So I told her, yes, I will kill the iPhone. What is this? This is addiction.
Are you paying for it?
For the iPhone? Muhammad is paying, yes. My husband is paying. You know, Daniel, the problem is that everyone is having an iPhone. You know, and it is not the iPhone only, it is the text message.
Yes.
It is the text message. You can't imagine.
If she wants it, let her pay for it.
To pay for it?
Yes.
Okay. I am stressed the equal importance in purification of the heart and physical cleanliness. Cleanliness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared that to clean your body is half of the faith. Like modesty and shyness, they were all declared part of the Islamic faith. So women were asked to cover most of their body except their face and hands. Islam raised the status of women to that of men. Women were given right to possess property and to enter business independently. They got share of inheritance as daughter, mothers and wives. They were allowed to choose their husband. They were allowed to take part in all fields of human activity. So actually regarding Islam and the role of the women, we will have class inshallah, complete class for that topic, so that inshallah we will be always sure that Islam is giving the best rights to the women, inshallah. Charity was given a special role in the social structure of the Islamic society. Zakat charity is the poor due in the wealth of the rich, that is to say 2.5% of the saved money at the end of every year must be given to the poor. If the, for example, if the rich, a rich man saved $1,000 for a year, complete year, he must give $25 in the zakat to the poor at the end of the year. And actually, this is one of the five pillars of Islam. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will learn also more about the Islamic society in Medina from the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, now we will learn about the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the Islamic society. Number one, extend peace, greetings amongst yourselves, provide food for the needy, observe prayer at night while people are asleep, then you will peacefully enter paradise. So if we want to enter paradise peacefully and easily, we must fulfill these three facts. Number one, to extend the peace among ourselves. Number two, to give the food to the needy. Number three, to try to pray at night. Praying at night means that if Fajr prayer now is 6 a.m., 6, 9, okay, if you wake up 10 minutes or 15 minutes before it and you pray 2 rak'ahs, okay, this will be considered for you night prayer, and inshallah you can enter the paradise easily. And actually, sister, regarding the night prayer, it is the time when Allah is down in the closest heaven, and it is the time when Allah is saying, if there is anyone who is looking for me to answer her call, let her call on me. If there is anyone who is looking for forgiveness, let her ask me or him ask me forgiveness. So this is the best time to call on Allah, the time when Allah is close at the during night. Number two, the last third part of the night, not the whole night, the last third part of the night. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Muslim is that one from whose tongue and hand the Muslims are saved. What is the meaning of this hadith? The meaning of this hadith is that you have two weapons in your body, your tongue and your hand. So stop using these two weapons, your tongue and your hand, against any human being, especially Muslims, but against any human being. Yes, you have a question? Okay. I will just clarify that, you know, sisters, on the Day of Judgment, all the organs of the body will blame the tongue. They will, all of them, they will say that to the tongue, because of you, we will enter the hellfire. If you stopped talking, we will be doing good deeds, it will be considered for us. But all our good deeds, we lost it because of you, the tongue. Okay, so you must all the time be aware of your tongue. Otherwise, your tongue will be the way to the hellfire. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified about the tongue many ahadiths or many sayings that most of the people will be in the hellfire because of what they said by their tongue. Also, our hands. Okay?
Sorry. The question that I had is, some of us have to tell the truth to our family members to help them into something they're doing or something they could do better.
Yes.
It can cause arguments. It could cause disputes. That's fine. It's part of life. Is it something that happens? And it's,
yes. Okay. Yes, I tell you, you know, this is part of the trust. If you want to say the truth in with the intention that this is for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the benefit, okay, so I must say it, okay, because this is like commanding to do the good. It is a command from Allah that if I see anything bad or wrong, I must say it, okay. If, for example, it is the time of prayer and all of us are planning to go to pray in the masjid, then one sister will say, no, I don't. I will tell her, no, sister, I will take her aside and I will take with her person to person. Then I will tell her, no, 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 try. The shaitan is trying with you to stop you. So you must say the truth, but you must say it in a private situation, okay, and with the good intention. When you have the good intention, okay, you, before saying what you want to say, just mention that I am saying this with my good intention and because I like you. When you start your conversation with anyone with these two facts for your benefit and with mention because I like you, okay, that person will accept more easily, okay, what you will say. But if you will not say these two facts, maybe the people will misunderstand you and this will cause for you troubles. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none among you believers is the one who likes for his brother, what he loves for himself. What is the meaning of this hadith? You can say it in a more simple way, okay, that you cannot be a believer except when you like for others what you like exactly for yourself. If I am happy that, for example, my daughter succeeds in the exam, I must be very happy and not jealous when Daniel's daughter succeeded in the exam. Okay, if I am looking to have a better car, I must be happy when Daniel will come and tell me, Sister Mona, I bought a good and a very big nice car, the one which you were looking for to have it for yourself. If I am a true believer, and actually this is extremely difficult to find nowadays, I will tell her from the depth of my heart, okay, from the depth of my belief in Allah, Daniel, I am very thankful to Allah that Allah gave you what you are looking for, as if I have it. Exactly. I am very thankful for you. This is when you live with true believers, okay, you can have these feelings. But when you live with people whom the worldly life is their goal, you will never be able to have these feelings in your heart. Because it is the race of the worldly life, not the race of the belief in Allah and the race of the reward from Allah. If my goal is the reward from Allah, the worldly life will not be important for me at all. My good feelings and my obedience to Allah is more important. I trained myself that whatever good others have, it is exactly mine. Why? Because the worldly life is not so important for me. My heart, to keep my heart good and full of good feelings is more important. And if you start to feel jealous or jealousy from the people around you whom they have the worldly life, you will never feel the true belief in your heart. Okay, those two, the worldly life and the belief, they cannot be together in one heart. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will not enter paradise, he whose neighbor is not secure from his wrong behavior. So again and again, as we recited from the Holy Quran about the importance of the neighbor, whether your neighbor is Muslim or non-Muslim, this is not part of the equation. A neighbor is a neighbor, a close person to you, living beside you. Both of you are living in the same place. We are supposed to have the best feelings towards each other. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He neither oppresses him nor does he fail him. Whosoever removes a worldly grief from a believer, Allah will remove from him one of the griefs of the Day of Judgment. Whoever shields or gives a shield to a Muslim, Allah will shield him on the Day of Resurrection. We will stop with this hadith to know its meaning, so that inshallah we will be all the time having the best manners. And basically, when you have the best manners, it is for your benefit. People are under the impression that if I have good manners, it will be for the benefit of the others. What benefit I have? I'm a foolish. If I am treating people in a good way, if I am sacrificing for the people, if I am forgiving the people, I am a foolish. This is the language of our life nowadays. Everyone is getting benefit of me because of my good manners. Okay? No, this is not the reality. Okay? This is the manners of those whom they are living this life as a jungle. Okay? But if you are living the life for the sake of Allah, I must have the good manners. Because I like the good manners. I deserve the good manners. I am a good mannered heart. I am a good mannered human being. And number one in the good manners, no oppression. No oppression from any form. If you look to someone with pride, this is oppression. If you talk to someone as if that one is lower than you, this is a great oppression, okay? Because you are harming her feeling and her dignity as a human being. We are all equal. We are all good human beings so long we have the good manners. So oppression has different forms. Be away from oppression totally. How you can be away from oppression? When you remember that Allah said, I, Allah, the Almighty said, I forbids oppression for myself, and it is forbidden for you. Forbidden. Okay? To have this attitude regarding being away from oppression, number one, to remember all the time that Allah is with us by His knowledge in every second. So if I feel Allah and I fear Allah, I will be all the time cautious. I will take care. I will be aware of my look, of my word, of my reaction. So I will be all the time a very polite person, observing the feelings of other more than observing the feeling of myself. While I am talking, I am looking to your faces. I am observing your reactions. If I feel that whatever I am saying is harming you minimally, I will stop and I will change the topic. Why? Because I feel Allah and I fear Allah. So all the time my intention is to be away from oppression totally. Even if you try to oppress me, I will never revenge. Because if I take revenge, I am an oppressor. And I can't be an oppressor because I feel and I fear Allah who forbids oppression. Oppression is very bad because you are taking the right of the people against their will. Why? Everyone has the right to have dignity. The right of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all the kinds of freedom. So long I am not harming the others, I have my freedom. Why you want to oppress me and to take my rights? Okay? And this is the religion of Allah. This is Islam. Everyone is saying Islam is not the religion of justice. Islam is oppressing women. Okay? Islam cannot be a religion of oppression because Allah the Almighty forbids oppression. Quran is the book of justice against oppression, but it is the Muslims whom they don't understand the Quran and they don't follow the Quran whom they give the example that Islam is the religion of oppression. When husbands are treating their wives not in a good way and they will say to their wives, if you will not obey me, I will marry another one. Allah gave me the right. This is the Islam. No, this is not Islam. Islam didn't give you the right. If you have a good wife, obedient wife, obeying Allah, to threaten her day and night, I will divorce you or I will marry another one. So everyone will say, and all of this is by the name of Allah and the Islam. Everyone will say Islam is not the religion of justice. What is this? If there is justice and the women are equal to men, okay, the husbands are not supposed to threaten the wives by the name of Allah and Islam. Either you obey me and you don't say any word, just to say yes, 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 my master. Otherwise, Islam gave me. Islam didn't give you anything. Allah said in the Holy Quran, you can marry two or three or four, but on special conditions. And you must have justice. And Allah said in the Holy Quran, you can't have justice. So these two verses of the Quran stopped the men or the husband from marrying again, if they understand, except in very special situation. If the wife cannot have kids, if the wife is very old, if the wife is very weak, She cannot fulfill his needs. Okay, but just to threaten the wife, this is not Islam. So all the time we must remember oppression. No for oppression, from any forms of oppression. Be all the time having the feelings of others. When you feel others, you will be all the time away from oppression. Number two, regarding this hadith, Allah is teaching us that when you will remove a worldly grief from a believer, Allah will remove from you one of the griefs of the Day of Judgment. And actually there is no comparison regarding a grief of the Day of Judgment when it is too late to correct any of our mistakes, and a grief of the worldly life. So Allah is encouraging every one of us to remove the grief from the people in the worldly life, so that inshallah on the Day of Judgment Allah will reward me more and more and more by relieving the griefs on the Day of Judgment. All the time help and support others, not for their sake at all. Don't look to their faces, don't know their names, just to do the help and support for the sake of Allah, looking for the reward on the Day of Judgment. And number three, shield the Muslims and shield every human being. I believe in shielding the Muslim and shielding every human being. In our life, sometimes there are circumstances which is pressurizing us to do or to live in circumstances which is against my will, against my belief sometimes. Okay, so we are supposed to shield each other. Suppose I am driving my car, or I am walking in the mall, then I see one of the covered sisters whom she's not putting a head cover and walking with her husband or walking with a man. I don't know. I am not supposed to come and tell you and to write in the Facebook and in WhatsApp and everything. Yes, as normal. What is going on with the Muslims? Or also I can have a photo very quick from my iPhone to prove it and to keep it again the rest of the life until the Day of Judgment, inshallah, Daniel, for the sake of Islam. Unfortunately, for the sake of Islam. This is severe oppression. Yes. This is very bad manners. This is this is very bad. No, this is this is against honesty. Sorry. Be honest. This is very bad. More worse than oppression, because you are trying to follow the mistakes of the other. You don't know what is going on with her. Maybe her husband just decided that she must remove her cover, otherwise he will divorce her, and she's poor. And she's not working. And this is the only way to live as a good woman. So she just followed him. This is none of your business at all. And as a well-mannered Muslima, I will try to avoid her so that she will not be upset that one of the sisters already they knew about her situation. Okay, if she looks to me, I will change my face. I will look to another place. And next day, if she come and attends the class with her head cover, okay, I will speak with her normally, as if I never see her. If she comes and tell me, "Did you see me yesterday?" I tell her, no, I didn't.
That was your twin.
Maybe your twin. No, I will tell her, yesterday I was having severe headache and I don't have my glasses. You see? So I was just... But you know, sister, this is happening for the life of every one of us. We are not, angels. We are human beings. There are circumstances in our life which sometimes, we have to do it. Okay? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Also, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, the believers in their mutual love are like the human body, where when the eye is agony, the entire body feels the pain. When the head ashes, all the body will suffer.
When the head aches.
When the head aches, the whole body will suffer. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the bonds of brotherhood between two Muslims are like parts of a house. One part strengthens and holds the other. This means that, sister, we will help each other. We will support each other. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Don't be envious of other Muslims. Don't go against a Muslim and forsake him. O the slaves of Allah, be like brothers with each other. It is not allowed for a Muslim to desert his brother for over than 3 days. You know, this is very important rule which we Muslims mostly not follow that rule. We are not following that rule. You are not supposed to desert a Muslim.
We don't speak to them.
For years. For years, yes. Okay, we desert each other for years. You know, why? Because we don't follow the rules of Islam. If my heart is a good heart, and I have a different point of view, for example, with Daniel, then Daniel becomes upset with me, for example, okay, and it is one day, second day, the third day, I am supposed to call her and to tell her, Daniel, I am very sorry, you are upset with me. But Daniel also is supposed to tell me, Sister Mona, thank you that you called me and let us forget it. But the problem is that sometimes you call someone to tell her, let us forget about the problem. She will tell you, no, I'm
very big mistake.
You did a mistake which I can't forget
forgive.
It. Never forget it. Okay, then you tell to yourself, why I did that mistake and I put myself down with those kind of people. I did a very big mistake. I will never ask forgiveness from anyone. I will not change my point of view for anyone. I will be a very stubborn human being. Okay, and this is actually, sisters, a very big mistake. This is the reality of the hearts. You know the reality of the hearts when there is a problem, and the reality of your heart. When there is a problem and someone come and ask you forgiveness, immediately, before asking forgiveness, when you have a trouble with someone and you notice that someone is coming close to you, you must run to her. Because you already believe that she's coming to ask you forgiveness. Don't let anyone ask you forgiveness. Okay? So long you realize that she knew about her mistake, just tell her, sister, we are doing all mistakes. Maybe I also did a mistake with you. Maybe I was nervous with you. Maybe. So that you give her the feeling that what she's doing to ask forgiveness is something good. You are encouraging this character or this manner. Okay? So that all the time we'll be having good relation. Because it is normal that we will have different point of view. And it is normal that we can be upset with each other. But if we have good hearts, okay, after a few hours I will say, I like Daniel. She is my sister. I can't live without Daniel. Let me call her. Yes, let me call her. This is normal. I have different points of view with my husband. I will desert my husband all my life, my kids, my parents. So why with our sister? So all the time remind yourself. But the most important is that you have people with good hearts around you. Otherwise, you will have a very big problem. This is the importance of the good company. I am sure that they will forgive me and I will forgive them. So I don't have problem to ask them forgiveness. I don't have problem to talk with them from my heart. Because, alhamdulillah, we understand each other and we have good hearts towards each other. Right.
I just want to understand if it's possible, if Muslims can distance themselves from each other in the case where they feel like they're not compatible, or one person seems to not, you know, hurt somebody else's feeling, can you just take apart?
Yes, but keep assalamu alaikum.
Okay.
Okay, we are not enemies.
Okay.
Okay, there is no enmity between Muslims. We are not enemies.
Like this person is not benefiting you.
Yes.
You know, like, when you're with that person, maybe they backbite one another, and you don't want to be in their company, you know. It's okay when you see them to say, Assalamu alaikum, you know.
Keep the good relation, but keep a distance, okay? And I always mention this action. You know, I like those whom they are close to me to have good hearts. Okay, only people with the good hearts to be close to me. Okay, others are Muslims better than me. but they are not my close circle. Okay, I will keep salam alaikum, alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah, salam alaikum. If she will try to have long conversation with me, I will escape it. Okay, I don't want
to. You have to go somewhere.
Yes, I don't want to have any close relation with troublemaker persons. Okay, but assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam. You must keep assalamu alaikum. Okay. Now we will stop here, inshallah. We will continue, inshallah, next week with the Islamic State of Medina. And let us make the dua now, inshallah. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.